Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Brian Brushwood has supported Independent Tech News directly for almost 5 years. Thanks, Schwood. Be like Brian. Become a DTNS member at patreon.com/DTNS. This is the Daily Tech News for Friday, December 21st, Solstice 2018 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline, I'm Sarah Lane.
From my hidey hole in Cleveland, Ohio, I'm Len Peralta.
And from LA County, I'm the show's producer, Roger Chang.
Ah, it's good to have Len back. We missed you.
To be back here for the final show of the year. Correct?
Yeah, yes. Final live show of the year. If anyone's unfamiliar, over the holiday break, we'll have 4 special episodes, a prediction show, a predictions results show where we look at our predictions from last year, listener co-host show where we talk to some of the listeners in the audience about their technology experiences, and a retro show, the Daily Tech News from 1992. Nice. That's all coming your way next week. Erin Carson was supposed to be on the show today, but unfortunately she took ill. So we wish her well, hope she gets a speedy recovery, and we'll get her back on the show in the new year. But are y'all ready?
I'm all ready for this.
Let's start with a few tech things you should know.
China has resumed approving new video games for sale after a 9-month freeze. A new batch of games has been reviewed and will soon receive licenses for domestic publication. A new body has been created as well to review ethical issues, as China says it wants to combat childhood myopia and online addiction. Tencent announced back in October it will use facial recognition to detect minors playing games and then enforce mandatory limits.
The U.S. FBI seized domains of 15 high-profile denial-of-service websites Thursday after an operation involving the U.K.'s National Crime Agency, the Dutch National Police, and cooperation from Cloudflare, Flashpoint, and Google. The orders were granted under federal seizure laws against sites that are booter or stressor sites. They basically provide denial of service as a service. Matthew Gittrell and Juan Martinez in California and David Bukowski in Alaska have been charged with operating the sites.
Microsoft announced it will stop selling its Xbox All Access subscriptions on December 31st of this year. Just a few days from now. The subscription gives users an Xbox One and access to more than 100 games for $21.99 per month. An Xbox spokesperson named Larry Herb says that the program will expand when it returns in 2019.
Good old Major Nelson. Finally, Gatwick Airport in the UK reopened for flights, finally, after being closed most of Thursday. We talked about it yesterday. Drone flights from an unidentified individual were endangering takeoff and landing. The operator of the drones has not been found, last we knew, but the military says it has taken mitigating measures, and the drones have not reappeared since Thursday night. Police attempting to track the drone's signal suggested the operator was moving around, possibly in a vehicle like a van. Sussex Assistant Chief Constable Steve Berry told the BBC there were a number of lines of inquiry, including the possibility of environmental activists. All right, let's talk a little more about, speaking of follow-up, following up on Gatwick, let's follow up, sadly, on the glitter bomb story.
Okay, we talked about this the other day, and we were all quite fond of this hack. It turns out might not be as hackable as we originally thought. The glitter bomb package to catch thieves may not have been as pure as experiment as some of you may have hoped, and here's why. Someone named Peter Logan is among the people who did some sleuthing, and Mr. Logan notified BuzzFeed that after investigating sources like Zillow and Google Street View, it looked as if some of the instances in the video seemed to have been done by people next door to each other. Now, Thursday, Mark Rober removed 1.5 minutes from the video that he posted initially that we talked about on the show because of the doubts around two of the five reactions. He then explained that he'd reached out to volunteers who would compensate for their troubles, and a friend of a friend appeared to have used their acquaintances to stage the videos. But as far as he and you know, the other three are totally legit thieves.
So still 60% of the video, legitimate thieves, as far as we know. A lot of people are just saying, oh, it was all faked. And maybe, yeah. I don't know, maybe it was. Maybe he's lying to you.
It may have been embellished.
And trying to get away with it.
It doesn't really mean it's fake to begin with.
I don't see any reason not to believe, based on his explanation, that he said, hey, anybody want to help me with this? Put the package on your porch and try to track it down for me and help us out and let us know and I'll compensate you. And a few people said, yeah, we'll do it. And then decided to stage it themselves without his knowledge. And he just didn't pay close enough attention to notice the little details that indicated that. You can jump to the conclusion that he did and it was all a conspiracy if you want, but I could absolutely see his explanation playing out in real life and him being sad that he got taken advantage of. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Well, India has authorized 10 central agencies to intercept, monitor, and decrypt data on any computer. Any subscriber, service provider, or person in charge of a computer must extend all facilities and technical assistance to the agencies. Failure to comply is punishable by fines and 7 years in prison. Government Ooh. Says any order for interception, monitoring, and decryption must be approved by the Union Home Secretary. So this is not something that you could get easily, but it is exactly the kind of law that encourages companies to put in back doors if they are worried about not being able to comply with such an order should it come down.
Well, I don't know exactly what the fine would be, but 7 years in prison is nothing to sniff at. So, yeah, I mean, this is major.
Yeah, and it's another backdoor legislation because Australia also is putting in place a law that says you have to comply if we ask you to see the data. You have to be able to decrypt it. What's going on in both these cases is they are not requiring a backdoor. They're not making legislation that says build a backdoor in. They're one step removed saying, you're going to have to decrypt it if we ask you. How you are prepared to do that, that's up to you. Probably the only way to be able to do that is to either provide the key yourself and store them or provide a backdoor. And when you provide the key yourself, that is less secure. And that's why Signal, WhatsApp, et cetera, don't do that because they want you to have the most secure communications possible and have no way that anyone else but you could see your messages. However, when you do that, you're not able to decrypt communications. So a lot of people are worried that this is another example of the creeping legislation that hobbles cryptography.
Okay, so we're in India. What do we use?
Right now you use WhatsApp. They haven't changed anything. It'll be interesting to see if companies decide to change how they operate or not operate in India. I haven't seen a response from WhatsApp yet. Ball's sort of in their court.
Well, moving on to Apple News, the company announced that its head of machine learning and AI strategy, John Giandria, has been promoted to senior vice president and added to Apple's executive team. Giandria joined Apple back in April, oversees Siri, which some folks believe has improved since he took over. Depends on who you ask, I suppose. Loop Ventures published results of tests this week between Google Assistant and Siri and Amazon and Cortana. All four understood queries more than 99% of the time, with Google getting 100% of the time. Google also answered correctly 87% of the time, and Siri was number two at 74.6%, followed by Amazon, 72.5%. And then Cortana, back down at 63.4%. Siri improved the most, though, and that's significant because everybody likes to poo-poo Siri as being an assistant that isn't that great. She improved the most over the past year, up 22 points.
Although Loop points out that a lot of the improvement from Siri related to just having more domains available. So there were fewer times where it just kicked you over to web searches. Amazon seemed to have the greatest information-related improvement, even though Amazon wasn't as good in the other situations. If you go to that Loop story and you look down at the graph, you'll see that when it comes to information-related stuff, Amazon was 91% to Google's 94%. So number two, they fall off on local searches, commerce searches, and command searches. That's actually, command searches are one of the things Siri's the best at because it's so well integrated into your phone. You can tell it to launch things and do things, and it's better than all the other platforms.
And I wonder, you know, how many of these searches are focused on directions, for example.
That would be the local stuff.
We're talking about speakers. That I use any assistance for, at least when I'm in my car.
But yeah, I was going to say, you do that on a phone. These are speakers, and they actually test phones differently from the speakers.
I see. Okay.
So the local stuff, I mean, you could be asking directions from your smart speaker, but you're less likely to do that as you're in your car.
From here, before I leave my house type thing. But yeah, okay.
I asked my Echo for local coffee shops because that's one of the questions they show in this Loop article. Where is the nearest coffee shop is one of the – it's the example question for the local category. It gave me 5 coffee shops near my old house. So that was interesting because it's getting a zip code out of my Amazon Echo profile. It's not getting it from my Amazon.com shopping profile, or it would know where I am.
Because you've updated it.
Yeah, because I've updated my shipping address. So if I order,
talking to each other.
If I order something from the Echo, it comes to me at my new address. But when I asked for local coffee shops, it gave me a coffee shops in my old zip code. So on the one hand, I was pleased because it means that it is waiting for me to give it approval for that function to be able to know where I am.
Right.
On the other hand, I was like, yeah, then none of those coffee shops are actually near me. So,
but it also, I mean, I think it's probably the right thing on the company's part to be like, well, your mailing address might not be your home address.
Sure. Yeah.
It mostly is, but not for everybody.
Not always. And it wasn't trying to guess by IP address where I was either. It wasn't creeping on me like that. Security researcher Mossab H discovered that anonymous social network Blind did not password protect one of its databases, exposing user account information. In other words, you didn't have to crack a password because there wasn't one. The database included private messaging data for users who signed up or logged in between November 1st and December 19th. And remember, Blind is supposed to be anonymous messages. It's for whistleblowers. It's for complainers. And these messages were in the clear if you knew where to look for them. Blind executive Kyum Kim, however, says there's no evidence the database was misappropriated or misused. This has become a place for employees of Apple, Facebook, Google, Microsoft, Twitter, Uber to talk about what's going on in their company. And whistleblowers used it to reveal allegations of sexual harassment at Uber. If you remember a couple of years ago, they were using Blind for that. I have seen some schadenfreude, Sarah, in the press where some say, ha ha, these tech people are getting a taste of their own medicine with their anonymous data being revealed.
Well, okay. I actually, full disclosure, I had not heard of Blind before the story, but I don't work at any of these companies. So, okay, perhaps it's, you know, sort of an enterprise kind of gossipy behind the scenes type thing. Listen, no matter if it's, you know, Tom and Roger and I talking amongst ourselves or people talking amongst themselves at a company, if it promises security and is not secure, this is a huge problem. We go through this every day. It seems like we're talking about another supposedly very stable app that is not. So What's the solution? Like, well, okay. Okay, does Apple need to build its own, you know, behind the scenes messaging system for its employees to ensure that this doesn't happen? And then will that be secure? I don't know.
Here's the thing. This is no different than any other breach. It's standard caveats apply. It may not have been a misappropriated. It may have been a bug that thankfully Mossab H found and no one else, and no harm done. Those happen all the time. No code is 100% secure. The way you get 100% secure is have a lot of eyes on it. And if a lot of eyes are on it, they find the bug. And then they disclose the bug, because also we live in a world of GDPR and public disclosure. And so since the GDPR, I think it feels like there are more breaches, partially because we're hearing about them more often versus previously when they might have been shoveled under the rug. It doesn't mean that the security is as awful as it feels, though, because you're catching them in a lot of cases before bad things are done. But our brains aren't wired to differentiate that. So we just remember there were a lot of breaches. Some of them were very bad, with malicious people getting information. Some of them weren't. So the solution is to nail down security by having audits, by having open source protocols, by having a lot of eyes on them, and having the Mossab H's of the world catch them before someone else takes advantage of them.
Well, since we're on the subject of messaging apps and their security, sources tell Bloomberg that WhatsApp is working on a cryptocurrency to allow money transfers, particularly for the remittances market in India. A stable coin would be pegged to the US dollar. And then WhatsApp is still working on the strategy and plans for assets, so the coin is not near release. Not yet. They're working on it, though. India leads the world in remittances, with $69 billion sent home to India in 2017. That's according to the World Bank.
Yeah, I see this reported everywhere as Facebook wants to make a cryptocurrency, right? Because, whoa, does that not catch the headlines these days? Does that people get angry? What? Now they can't even secure their platform against privacy abuse, and they're going to make a cryptocurrency? But once you read this, it makes perfect sense. In India, where WhatsApp is huge, remittances are huge. Why wouldn't WhatsApp try to figure out a way to handle remittances? And stable coins are a less controversial cryptocurrency for handling things like remittances when they're pegged to the dollar. Doesn't mean it's not risky, though. And that may be why they're far away from putting this out, because they're trying to figure out if they can make it work well.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't a Bitcoin situation. This is a, we want to make the transfer of the money faster than it would be through ACH. So let's create a cryptocurrency that we control and validate to speed it up.
It's definitely a gamble, because you're betting that people are willing to use that service over something they know and have used for years.
I don't know, though. I mean, if WhatsApp does this right, you won't even know there's a stable coin. You won't be buying stable coins. It'll just use the coin as the transactional element to move the money from one place to another. You'll just say, I'm sending rupees home.
Yeah, you know, remittances are huge, right? That's how a lot of countries make money, is by their citizens working overseas, and they, you know, send a portion of it back to their family that still remain in the country, and they spend and boost the local economy. But I mean, possibly. I mean, you know, it's one of those things, like, people get kind of conservative when you deal with finances and money, and they tend to stick with what they know.
And maybe I'm misinterpreting this, but because it's using a blockchain and a coin, I think it causes us to lose our heads a little. If all they're doing is on the back end using that as the token counter, so they can have an accurate accounting of what's being sent where, on our end as a WhatsApp user, it'll just be, do you want to send this much money to this person? Here, press this button. Boom, it's done. Right? And if people are willing to do that on WhatsApp, I don't know that the stablecoin part of it really matters.
Time will tell.
Yeah.
Time will tell.
Well, we've got one more top story for 2018 to do, and I think we should let Roger do the honors. Sarah, what do you think?
I think that's a great idea. Roger, take it away.
I will take it away. Walmart received a patent.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest cost model in the market, perfectly designed for high volume, high speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
From a listening system designed for capturing and analyzing sounds in a shopping facility. The system will also, quote, capture audio of conversations between guests and an employee stationed at the terminal and, quote, process the audio of the conversation to determine whether the employee stationed at the terminal is greeting guests. Now, currently, the company has no plans for the system or its deployment, but The Verge suggests that it could be used as a loss prevention, anti-theft system. Or a way to monitor
or a way to fire people when you know that they didn't do a good job.
All right, all right. But it's also exactly what Amazon Go does in their shopping, in their instant shopping thing, and nobody gets all freaked out about that.
I have a problem with that.
I'm more curious about the whole, we're going to listen to our employees interact with the customers.
Yeah. Right?
Oh, what if you said, like, you know, you shouldn't buy that, you should buy this. You're going to get $5 off.
Well, okay. But like, okay, think of it from sort of a different perspective. For example, let's say I go to Walmart, I buy something, I have a very negative shopping experience. Is it my fault? Is it the employee's fault? I don't know. Maybe somebody had a bad day. Maybe it's clear whose fault it is. But I, you know, then complete a survey later, bashing that employee. Maybe it was me. Maybe it was. So if a company were to be able to say, well, we actually listened to the exchange in question, and the employee was in the right, the customer was kind of, you know, out to lunch, then I'm not saying this is necessarily a good thing, but it would probably it's better data for the company.
This is a patent, first of all. Patents are written as widely applicable as possible. So the use cases in patents are almost never the use cases in reality in its use, right? They want to make sure they cover any use of their patent and make it look particularly useful. The other thing is all the worries that are being expressed are you could just put microphones up and do exactly the same thing, right? Like you don't need a patent to do that. You can't patent putting microphones up and recording it digitally and analyzing them. The patent is about like being able to distinguish what's going on the floor. And that feels a lot more to me like Walmart wanting to get in on Amazon's business of automated shopping.
Definitely. I could also be, you know, it's one of those things that, like you said, it's a broad-based technology. Like, I still have fantasies of them expanding it so I can just kind of yell at the stores, like, where's my shampoo?
See, right? Yeah, no, that'd be so because that's every a useful time, version of it.
I will say I haven't actually never been into a Walmart until I had kids, when they started needing like shampoo and bubble bath for my daughter. Like, I ask, and it's hard to find someone who isn't busy, and it's hard to find someone who can direct me directly toward where it's at, depending on what the product is. And if I could just yell at the store and it would just say, okay, it's over here. Now they have apps, and I know stores like Home Depot and Lowe's will often tell you, okay, you can find this item in this bin. We say we have four left, you know, and you go and there's nothing there. You still need to track down someone. I you know, if they could automate the process so you could also ask things, I think that's one of the things that
yeah.
I think about the Amazon system.
That's like, a patent, to be able yeah. to distinguish multiple people asking questions, process what they mean, and then you could, this is not in this patent, but target audio broadcast back, because you can broadcast audio to a spot, right? And say, broadcast it back to the person who asked with their answer. So Roger's asking where the shampoo is, and the store tells him, that's an aisle six. Whereas someone else, a couple aisles over, asked a different question and got a different answer, targeted back at them.
Where's my kid? Where's my kid?
She's in aisle six as well. To get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com. Time to check our mailbag.
Let's do it. Amos wrote in and said, a while ago, I wrote in to express my concerns that the Apple Watch Series 3 was especially sensitive to my wrist tattoo, locking when it shouldn't, and when my Series 0 wouldn't lock at all. That behavior continued for the year I wrote the Series 3. Well, I'm happy to report that the Series 4 has performed perfectly since receiving it last week. Not a single errant lock.
Oh, huh. Well, that's good to know. So the Series 4 actually improved the tattoo reading, I guess.
Was it in the app developer notes?
Yeah.
Probably
will
not.
Work for Amos.
But hey. Yeah.
Also got this email. In regards to bent iPads, it's absurd to say that's not going to impact the use of the device. Ever tried to cut on a cutting board that's not flat? Likewise, a bent iPad will wobble when you try to type on a screen with the iPad flat on a table. If the bend is always concave on the back and the four corners are always in the same plane, only then would it not wobble. Signed, a self-avowed Apple fangirl.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. As much as, yeah, it doesn't ruin the device. And, you know, I'm also the same person who complains about Face ID all the time. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't work seamlessly with your life, it's a problem. Sure. It might work fine, but it's still, you know, you point out a couple of use cases where it's like, that would actually be a problem.
Well, because what Apple's saying is it doesn't affect the internal electronics, right? Your iPad will work just fine. But the form factor is part of the operation of it, which is what our Apple fangirl is pointing out here.
Correct. Finally, we got an email from Prof. Metcalf, who was following the Amazon sends data to the wrong person story we talked about the other day, with a combination of curiosity and bewilderment, as were we all. As a human who codes algorithms, Prof says, I'm amazed that people make the assumption that human error rules out the probability that some coder just totally screwed something up. I mean, is there no such thing as a non-human error with code? Is there? Love the show. He also says, everybody be like me and support independent tech news. DTNS is made by totally infallible humans.
Oh, okay, fine now, Prof. Metcalf. I was with you to that last
now
part. Don't set us up as being infallible.
Now you're just.
Now you're just silly. But no, it's a great point, right? Like the algorithm itself could be the problem because it was coded wrong, which would be a human error. Good insight.
Or designed with a differing set of conditions than what it was applied to.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's true.
Well, as we wrap up this last live show of 2018, we cannot stop without checking in with Len Peralta, who's been drawing up a storm. Len?
Yes, this is a very special day because it is the final live show of 2018. So I wanted to do something that talked about one of the biggest stories of this week. And please bear with me because I realize that the glitter bomb in this case would make us the thieves in this scenario. But I want you to think about it as 2018 being the glitter bomb latent fart spray thing that has gone off in all of our faces, our collective faces. And kind of, at least for me personally, maybe you had a better year. But I am over this year and ready to go into 2019 to celebrate and have a much better year than this year. Away with the 2018 glitter bomb fart spray and onward.
So onward to a less glittery, non-farty 2019.
A non-stink
bomb. You were trying to steal the promise of 2018, it exploded in your face, is what you're saying.
Exactly. That's a much better way of saying it. Thank you, Tom. Thank you. Much better. In addition to this, I also wanted to do something special for DTNS listeners and DTNS as Tom and crew move into the fifth year anniversary. If you're on the video stream, you may want to check it out. I've created this, which is a special thing for DTNS 5 years. Five years of DTNS.
Oh my gosh, I want that on every shirt, every hat, every beanie.
That is awesome. DTNS,
it's so cool.
With a big V for Roman numeral 5. Design input from Roger Chang here on this, by the way, we should acknowledge.
Yes,
great absolutely. Execution. This is fantastic. Definitely check this out. And what I'm going to do with Len's art is use it to try out a beta program through Patreon that will start in January, where if you remain a Patreon at a certain tier for 3 months, you'll get rewarded with a free mug or poster or sticker, depending on the tier. More details to come on that. But if you are at a tier and you want to hang out, this is a good time to hang out because this will be launching as soon as I can get this amazing art uploaded and in the system. This is great.
You may be getting it immediately after the show, Tom. So that's, you'll be very excited.
I will upload it immediately after the show. And then it's just a matter of how long it takes their system to launch, because this is fantastic.
It's going to be great.
Thank you.
Happy 5 years, by the way. Congratulations.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for being with me for the 5 years. You're the best.
Oh, it's nice to be here. I'm glad to be here on Fridays. It makes my Fridays a little bit brighter. Thank you.
And if you want the glitter poster, check out LenPeraltaStore.com.
Please do. Please do.
Folks, that's all we got. Thank you for supporting us throughout the year. However you support us, DailyTechNewsShow.com/support. Again, if you want the cool art on some cool merch, stay tuned to Patreon.com/DTNS.
Hey, on our week off, we're still going to be reading your emails, so send them to feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're also live Monday through Friday once we start up in the new year at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 21:30 UTC, and you can find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
Next week, we got special episodes, predictions, the results of last year's predictions, listener co-host, and a retro episode coming up on Monday. Have a happy new year, folks. We'll talk to you in 2019.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.